How are y'all doing tonight? It's good to see some fellow Ohioans, huh? Two missionaries here tonight, and we're all from Ohio. Okay, it's good. I want to let you know, we appreciate your prayers. I came up August 30th for my mom's funeral. We've been canceled several times. September 30th the first time, October 15th, got that one canceled. But Lord willing, I'll be flying out Saturday from Phoenix here at 1:30 to Dallas. Now, my trip from Dallas has been delayed about 10 hours. I was supposed to leave 7:30 p.m. Saturday night. Now, I won't be leaving until about 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. But Lord willing, I'll be home by somewhere between 6 and 9 a.m. on Monday to my wife. And the reason I want your prayers that even though it's delayed, it will fly, okay? I need that prayer. But I want to let you know, we appreciate your prayers. My wife was almost robbed last week. And the only thing, your prayers helped protect her during that time. And that's one of the reasons I want to get back, okay? And so you keep praying that, you know, it will go. I can get all the way home by Monday morning, please. That's my prayer request. I need to get home to my girlfriend.
Good evening. Don't forget to write that down. Don't forget to pray for that. I almost feel bad. I feel like I need to take some prayer requests from y'all. I know you guys probably got some needs and some things that you need prayer for, and I'm going to pray before I get started, and if you have a prayer request, the Lord knows what it is, and we're gonna put it in this prayer before we get started here. I want to go just tell you a little bit about how you can pray for us and what's going on in the Netherlands first, and then I'll give you some text and where we're going to go in the Bible. And we've been your missionaries since about 2016. We praise the Lord for that, your faithfulness in supporting us and getting the gospel to the Netherlands. We've been fortunate enough to see God do some what I consider amazing things in that country. I remember when we were first starting out, I tried to keep it in perspective. I didn't believe that we were going to have anybody coming to church for about 10 years when we get over there. And I had a pastor, he just said the other day that we were at their missions conference, he said, "I didn't think you'd have anybody either." You know, but we get, if you know the history of the Netherlands, you knew where they came from. It's a spiritually dead country. There's very few people that are still interested. They just crossed over the 50%, 51% are atheists in that country now. It was about 46% when we were on deputation. So you can see that going quickly in the direction of education and wanting things other than God. And the Bible warns against that, vain philosophy and deceit and all those kind of things, man's wisdom over God's wisdom. And they're getting there. The 46% are religious. You got Catholicism, and you got Protestants, and then you got 0.5 other, and we're 0.05 of the other, right? So there's a very small Bible believing group in the Netherlands. We know of three churches in the Netherlands that are Bible believing, Bible preaching churches, and we're one of the three. So you know, there's 17 million people, and what I'm going to say next, you're going to say why that's important. We have men now, families in our church now in the Netherlands that are driving an hour and a half from different regions, different provinces in the Netherlands coming to learn the Bible at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Hilversum. And we believe that God's going to call these men as we train them, as we get them grounded in the Word of God. We believe that God's going to use these men to start churches in these other five provinces in the Netherlands. And that's exciting to us. We never thought that would happen. We had an idea of what we wanted to do when we got there in the country, and God says, "How about this?" So he's given us more of the ministry of training and teaching, and God's doing some good things with that. And we're doing some our Wednesday night Bible study, and I'm still doing our Wednesday night Bible study. We did it from the parking lot today. We broadcast our Bible study to our people in the Netherlands today. We're doing verse by verse through different doctrinal books of the Bible so they can learn how to study the Bible themselves, and they can get their own understanding of it through clear teaching. And and we're excited about what God's going to do there. And we're still doing evangelism. We go to Red Light District. We're two blocks from the Red Light District in Dam Square in Amsterdam. We go there every Saturday and we preach the gospel to anybody that'll listen. Now, I know it's just like here that COVID kind of slowed things down a little bit with people, but there's still people coming through Dam Square, and they're still hearing the gospel preached. We hold a big old 4x6 foot banner, and it's got Jesus on the banner and the gospel message, and we preach it, and we give tracts, and these people are coming from all over Europe, and they're coming from all over the world, and we're giving them a gospel tract, and they're taking that back to their country, and if they get saved, then they could take those and win other people in their country to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know anything about Amsterdam, 60 million tourists a year in a normal year, that's a big impact for the world. It's a multicultural city. There's people there from all over the world, so we're really trying to make a good difference to whoever. And God calls us to the whosoever, so we're trying to do that, right? And we're excited to see what he's doing. The last Sunday that we were there, we had about 40 people in service, men, women, and children. And I always joke that I'm not sure whether they were giving us a goodbye, boo, kick us out the door, or whether they were sad that we were going. I'm still not sure which way that goes, but we got a children's ministry going now, and we have young people. And I'm not saying that to our we're the oldest people in our church. And this younger generation of Dutch, they're wanting the truth. And we wondered at the beginning, we wondered why God would even put us in that country. We went 3 months. We had absolutely nobody. We were preaching to each other. That's a joke. You can laugh at that. She wasn't preaching to me. I was preaching to her. But we had service by ourselves. We were singing. We were praying for people to come. And 3 months, we had nobody. And God saw fit to start bringing people to us. And it's just, it's exciting, and it's a blessing that God would even think to use us. And you remember, I don't know, who was here when we were here back on deputation? It's all a new group. We did everything you could possibly do before you got saved, so we tried everything this world had to offer, and then we found the real solution to our problem. We found Jesus Christ, amen? We did the dirt track racing. I know there's a dirt track around here somewhere. I was looking at the schedule to see about going there, but I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. We did the dirt track racing, we did the drinking, we did all that other stuff, we did the motorcycles, but until we found Jesus, and then that's a life-changing medicine for everything, amen? And we're excited to be saved, and we're trying to take that experience, a life experience, and give it to these young people in this country that everything's legal, and say, here's the real solution. You're looking for something for your life, and that person is Jesus Christ, and you need him more than anything. You need forgiveness of your sins. You need to be justified before God. You need all these things. You don't need all that drugs. You don't need that sex. You don't need all that. You just need to know Jesus Christ. He'll forgive you of all your sins. So God's used us in a way there. And like I said, we got the younger folk. And Michael, he's kind of our number one guy right now. He's actually an Armenian from Syria. And I believe God's going to use him to go back to that region. And he doesn't know that, but I think God, I'm waiting for God to tell him. I know that God's going to do that. I'm waiting for him to get on board with God's program, and I think God's going to do great things with him. And we're excited about that he would use us, and we can possibly start these other churches in The Hague, in Rotterdam, in Nijmegen, in all these regions, Amsterdam, Purmerend, different regions in the Netherlands, and I think God's going to do some great things there. And all God's really looking for is somebody that he can use. He's looking for somebody that he can bless. And that's what we're going to get into tonight. We're going to go to Psalm chapter 1. Now, if you got any questions, we're going to be here. We're staying in the apartment, so we're going to be here. If you got any questions for us, you can ask us tonight, or if you want to come knock on the door sometime this week, just don't be afraid to ask us. We'll answer any question that you have, the best of our ability. And I won't even make up an answer. If I don't have an answer, I'll tell you I don't have an answer. Amen? So that was a joke too, so... So let's go to Psalm chapter 1, and I'm just going to read a couple verses, and we'll pray, and we'll ask God to meet with us tonight. The Bible says here, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Father, we love you, and God, we sure thank you that you've allowed us to come to church tonight, God, that we can meet around your word. Lord, we can have a time of prayer, and God, to just lift each other up. And God, I know there's requests here tonight that weren't brought to us, but God, I pray that you would answer those. Lord, the needs that we have. I pray that you bless his brother trying to get back to his mission field, God, that you would just open that door up, get his negative tests, and God, that you'd get him on that plane and get him home so he can see his wife, God. I pray that you'd help and all the other needs, Lord. I pray, I see a lot of empty seats tonight, God. I pray you'd work in your people's hearts tonight, that you would bring them back. Lord, there's nothing worse than fear. And God, I pray that you would just help us, strengthen us, encourage us in these crazy days that we're in, God. Help us to see our need, that we need to be gathered together, God, that we need to, the fellowship of one another, and we need to be around your word, God. And I pray that you'd help us to realize this and to see it, that you want to bless us, God, but there's some things that we need to do as your people. God, I pray you use this message tonight to be an encouragement and to be a help. And God, that you use it for your glory. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're going to turn to some Bible verses tonight because there's some things in here that I want you to see. I can say whatever I want to say, but if it doesn't match up with God's word, it really doesn't amount to anything. So I want you to see this tonight. So it says right there in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." So there are some things that we need to do if we want God to bless us. And the very first thing is, it says that we are to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. So we need to live right. Amen? And that's something that I believe in the world that we're in today, people don't want to live right. They don't even think that they have to live right, but God says if we want a blessing from God, right there in that passage, it says that we are to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. What is that? Walking with people that aren't living for God. We don't need to do that. We need to be right with God. We need to stay right with God, and we need to keep going the direction that God wants us to go. And that's not a popular thing, especially in politics and when we get into all these other things, conspiracy theories and all this garbage. It gets us so far away from where God wants us to be, thinking on him and loving him, that we really do no good for him whatsoever. And I think God says, I want to bless you, but you need to get away from that stuff and you need to get your face back where it needs to be. You need to get back in this book, because we put this thing on the shelf and we turn on Fox News and we turn on CNN, or you probably don't turn on CNN or MSNBC. I doubt you turn on all those. But we need to get back to God's word, because that's where the truth is. You know, if you see what's going on in this world, you can go to Revelation and you go, oh yeah, that's it right there. We knew this was going to happen. This shouldn't surprise us. But we should use this, the things that are going on today, to point people to Jesus Christ. But here's what I see. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Here's what I see. And I'm not trying to be, you're going to think, you're just trying to be nasty. I'm not trying to be nasty. I love you. I really do. And I know you love me. And I know you love my wife, or you wouldn't support us the way that you do. You wouldn't be faithful to us. And I just want to tell you, you get to Revelation, you look at all these churches in Revelation. I was telling the brother this before I got started. You can go to Revelation chapter 2 and you see the church at Ephesus, and it says that the church at Ephesus has lost its first love, right? And you look at the book of Ephesians, and it had a lot to say about the love of God. So they forgot what God had done for them. They forgot what God had given them the ability to do. They forgot all the great things that God had done, and they started going towards the world. They forgot their first love. They started to want division instead of the unity in the body. Amen. And that's where we're getting today. But in Revelation chapter 3, it says here about this other church, and he says in verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would thou wert hot or cold." So I believe, even myself some days, I believe that's me. That may not be you. You may be hot all the time. You may be cold all the time. But sometimes I get lukewarm. I get right down the middle of the two. And God says that that's a bad place to be. And he says here in verse 17, "Because thou sayest I am rich." "Because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." That's where we get. That's where, to God, that's where we are, because we get so propped up with our wealth. We are the richest country in the world. We really are. And we have everything that we could possibly need. But when we have that, we put God in a lower place. You say, well, I don't do that. But somewhere in your heart, you do. Because I've done it too. And that's why we have what we have in the world today, because the whole world says, I don't need God anymore. I have everything that I need. It goes back to even to the goddess Diana of the Ephesians, back to the Ephesians, that goddess was going to supply all their needs. That's the spirit that we have in America today. That's the spirit that we have in the Netherlands today, that I don't need God anymore. I have everything that I possibly need. Now, in Argentina, they have a government system that's set up that the people just need the government. When the people turn against that government, then the government squashes them. Amen. But God says, I'm better than all of that. Why don't you just turn to me? That's why he needs to get back to Argentina. That he can tell them more and more and more about Jesus Christ, how he can supply their spiritual need. But we get to where we say, let's just settle down a little bit. Let's just slow our roll here a second, and let's just think about this for a minute. We don't need to think about it too much. That's the commission that God has given us, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go to Acts chapter 1. But we're Laodicea. I'm just saying that we're Laodicea. We are lukewarm. We won't get hot for God. We won't get cold for God. We're going to stay right down the middle. Let's not ruffle any feathers. Let's just do almost as little as possible and still think we're all right with God. Amen. Go to Acts chapter 1. Back to the thought of our part. What do we have to do? And why do we need to stop making excuses? I'm not saying we are. Maybe this isn't for you. Maybe God told me that this is not, this is the message God wanted me to preach tonight. I'm not gonna try to make anything soft about it. But you shall look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We continue to make excuses, and we decide that we're going to walk with the ungodly and still expect God to bless us. God gives us a command that we're to go, right? We know that. But look where he says that we need to go and why we need to go. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power, right? That's what we want. We want some power, right? Amen. And he gives us a commission, and then he gives us power. What's he give us the power to do? It says, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's when you got saved, you got some power. What's that first power that he gives you? And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. That's hometown. That's Goodyear. That is this area. He said, he gives you the power to be a witness right here at home. And then he says, and in Judea. In all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the Judea. You got Jerusalem is Goodyear, and then you got the outer area of the county, and then you got the state, and then you got the United States, and then you got all the world, the uttermost parts of the earth. And he says that you can do that. And you know what he says? In all at the same time. That's the missions program. And if you're not doing it at home and you're doing it somewhere else, you're not doing it right. Right? If you're not reaching the area that you're in and you're reaching farther out to somewhere else, you're not doing it right. That's what it says right here in this passage. And he gives you the power to do it all. And he wants to bless you, but sometimes we get walking in the counsel of the ungodly and we say, we just don't need to worry about this area. Let's just worry about foreign missions and then we'll just forget about home. Can I share something with you? That's why we're in the mess that we're in the United States today, because we've decided we want to do it somewhere else and we don't want to do it at home. We got to get back to doing it here. Amen. We need you to do it here, because if you don't do it here, you can't keep sending us there. Amen. And you want God to bless you, you need to get past that idea that we just need to do it over there, because that's what the ungodly think. That's what the lost world thinks. Hey, you know what? I don't want those people to come tell me about Jesus. I don't want those people to give me that gospel tract. You know what you need to do? Give it to them anyway. Because that's what God wants you to do. That's what he gives you the power to do. We need to live right. We need to do right. That's the second one. We don't need to act like the world. We don't need to, and that's what he says in Acts, or go back to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. I may get one amen tonight. This is going to be a short one tonight, amen? you guys are listening really good. I'm talking fast, and we're going to get through this, I promise you. And one of the things here, we need to, he says, to not to sit in the seat of the scornful. And can I tell you, that's where we get sometimes? We can just put it all off and think, you know what, it just doesn't matter. It's just too hard. Can you imagine if Jesus Christ was walking up the road to Calvary and he said, you know what? It's just too hard. Let's just call the whole thing off. He didn't do that, did he? And he had it a lot worse than what we do. But yet he just kept on going. And if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have the gospel message today, right? We wouldn't have a great commission because he would have just gave it to us. And he said, you know what? It's not that important. I'm not even going to die for these people. But he did, right? He shed his blood on the Calvary's cross all the way up. He sprinkled his blood as he's walking up there around the altar. And he still says, you go. You go do. Then that's the commission. We need to be more serious. We need to be serious about this commission and the gospel message. We need to be serious. If it's real to us, if it's really real to us, then it'll have changed us. And we'll act on it. We won't act like everyone else. We'll act like God's servant to get the gospel somewhere else. Amen. Well, we need to get past that scorning. We need to get moving forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Romans chapter 6. We're talking about not acting like the world. Romans chapter 6. And I'm not saying that you do. But if you are, change. I could do an invitation right now. If you're living like the world, change. Be more like Jesus Christ. That's what he's given us the ability to do. Right? Romans chapter 6, it says right there in the beginning, what shall we say then? Shall we continue and sin that grace may abound? What does he say next? Two words. God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin continue any longer therein? He's saying, don't act like the world. Be more like Jesus Christ. Be more like me. Paul's writing that by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Saying, stop. You know what the Bible says about those things that we're doing? We just need to stop. He says in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, be holy for I am holy. That's something when we forget. We say, I can't be holy. Well, he says you can. He says, be ye holy. He doesn't say, you might try to be holy. He says, be ye holy for I am holy. Right? And we forget that so much. Because we're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. We're sitting in the seat of the scornful. We're going along with everyone else except for God. And God says, hey, just follow me. We're in chapter 6, go to chapter 12. And Paul, he really puts a stamp on it here. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore. Now, this idea of beseeching, it's not just a, oh, come on, guys. Come on, get on board. He's begging. He's almost like he's on his knees begging. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The least you can do. And he goes on and says, and be not conformed to this world. That's an overarching theme all through Scripture for us, for Israel as a nation in Psalm chapter 1. But for us, and we can't say that that's just an Old Testament doctrine when we get to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is church age. And he tells us the same thing. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. How do we do that? It's by getting our face back in this book and seeing what God has to say for how we should live and how we should love and how we should act towards other people. But we're so conformed to the world. Guilty as charged. I'm right there with you. I'm guilty before God. That's why I thank God for 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know this is the Wednesday night crowd. You're the spiritual ones. I know that, but still, this is something that we need to keep in our minds. We need to just get things right with God and get our faces back in the book and just trust God more and more. You know what he says he'll do in that passage in Psalm chapter 1? It says that he'll bless us. Amen. Isn't that what we want? We want God to bless us, don't we? And he tells us, he gives us an outline of what we need to do. We don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. This is what I do to our people too. I make them turn pages, or I make them scroll through their Bible app to get to where I want them to be, because it's important. This is how we, the repetition, the seeing it with our eyes and hearing it with our ears, that's how we get these things into our minds, into our hearts. Without it, what do we really have? We don't have much. Look what it says. Now we're talking about the act not. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. So there's a lot that goes along with that. Proverbs says a lot about a scorner. But here in 16:13, Proverbs 16:13, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they that love him speaketh right. What comes out of your mouth is important. You can change a lot. James chapter 3 talks a lot about that little thing in your mouth that can cause so much damage. We need to get a hold of that thing. That little member steers a ship, right? It comes out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's another thing there. So we got to be careful not to be scornful, not to badmouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you badmouth the church, you're badmouthing the Lord Jesus Christ. So you got to be careful in what you say to lost people. You need to be careful about what you say to save people. You need to be careful what you say to everyone, because God knows your heart, and what's coming out of your mouth is coming out of your heart. I can tell a lot about you by what you say. So can the Lord. We don't need to be scorned. We don't need to be bitter. We can get bitter in these days. Well, I know this person should be here. I know this person should be doing this. I know that person should be doing that. Worry about you and let the Holy Spirit deal with everybody else. Amen? You're not somebody else's Holy Spirit. I'm not your Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Amen? And let the Holy Spirit work from there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. That's a big part of being a scorner, is being bitter. And God tells us not to act that way. Do not sit in the seat of the scornful. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12:15. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The root of bitterness springeth up in you, and then it says many can be defiled. You have an impact on people that you don't even know about. And he tells us not to sit in the seat of the scornful. We need to be careful about how we act and what we say, and always have that in mind, trying to please the Lord. So we want his blessing. We need to be careful how we act. And look at another one. But go back to Psalm chapter 1 again. It says in there, it walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now that doesn't mean that you're trying to block the way so no sinner can get by you, right? In the way of sinners is you're acting like the rest of the sinners, right? That's what he's talking about. And he warns us not to do that. We have to have right fellowship is what he's talking about there. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I love using my Bible, so if 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Look what the Lord says here. Has Paul, the Apostle Paul, write to the Corinthian church? And you know anything about 1 Corinthians? He's putting that church in their place because they got this ungodly things going on in that church. 2 Corinthians is bringing them back up. He's raising them back up. He's trying to commend them and then give them their purpose, give them another purpose in the ministry. He says there in verse 17, he says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And then he says, I will receive you. Right, you want, there you go, talking about the blessing of God. If you want to be received of God as an organization, as your local church, he says you need to get back to me. Come out, be separate. Don't be like everybody else. Amen? Maybe that's why God's testing us today to see whether we're going to stick to what's right. Amen? You wonder why the world hates the church so much? Because we're different. We're like a thorn in their side. We're like a sand in the eye. We were just in the dust the other day, so that sand in the eye thing is pretty fresh. So it's like that bother you get, that sand in the eye. That's what the church is. We're to be salt and light. You know what salt does, right? It cures. And sometimes it stings. You get it in a cut and it stings. Sometimes those wounds that the society has going on out there, we need to be salt in that thing and make them hurt a little bit for what they're doing, or at least make them think about it. That's our job. That's why God leaves us here, to be separate, to be different, to be a peculiar people. And that's not just weird for the sake of being weird, right? Because we do that pretty good ourselves anyway. But it's to be different for the Lord, amen? To be a separate entity unto him, to be pleasing for him. And then he'll bless us, which is what we want. And he gives us the outline of how to do that. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, and then we'll go back to Psalm chapter. Hopefully you kept a finger in Psalm chapter 1, because we're going to go back there again. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, and we get ourselves in trouble sometimes. Proverbs 11, 1 says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. So sometimes we get ourselves out of balance, is what I'm trying to say. We get our ministries out of balance. Our personal lives get out of balance. We want all those blessings of God. We don't want to walk in the certain ways, but yet we associate with the wrong people. And then we act in a way that we shouldn't. You take those three and you say, God, I'm going to have these on an even keel. I'll have these straight across. I'm going to act right. I'm going to associate with the right people. And I'm not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. I'm going to do all these in balance. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to show up for church every time the doors are open. I'm going to do it and have everything in balance. He says a false balance. Balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Don't you want to have everything balanced and have the blessing of God? Right? And then it goes on in that Proverbs chapter 1, or Psalm chapter 1, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is not just the Ten Commandments. It's the whole counsel of God. Our delight should be in the Word of God. Right, we don't do the first three, and then we really need to focus on the fourth thing here. Our delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Do you do that? Do you ever meditate? I'm not talking yoga meditation. I'm not talking any of that new age stuff. I'm just talking about, do you ever take the time to read Psalm chapter 1 and just sit there and think about it for a little bit? And just ask God, God, can you show me how I need to make these changes in my life? Lord, can you show me where I'm out of balance? Lord, can you show me where my associations are bad? Lord, can you show me where I'm in a scornful position? Can you show me where this bitterness is pushing through and everybody can see it? Do you ever sit there and think that way? I think we need to get back to that. And I'm not saying that you don't, but if you are, you need to get back to meditate in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Delight in the word of God. Go to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37, verse 4. Well, let's start at the beginning. 37, verse 1. It says here, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing, right? David's writing this as somebody that's had the experience of being everybody's after him all the time, right? Saul was after him, and then the Philistines are after him, and then the people are just after David. Absalom went after him. But he says right here, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't worry about what's going on out there. That's what David says. From a man that should have been worried about everything that was going on out there, David says, don't. Amen. How could he say that? Because he knew God. He had a personal daily walk with God. He trusted in the Lord. That's what he says here. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. He says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Do you see how somebody has the experience like David can just say, you know what, just trust the Lord and do right. Don't worry about what everybody else says. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, just like he said in Psalm chapter 1. Same guy's writing this, but he can say it over and over because we need to hear it over and over and over because we just stop trusting him. We say we want to be blessed by God, but we don't do what God says we need to do to be blessed. Salvation, you're blessed. You're going to heaven. You are going to get raptured out of here before you know it, or you're going to see the Lord. We know that. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. If you trusted the gospel message, that is your promise. But then we're talking about our daily life, our personal application to these things. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. And what's he say? So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Look, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight is taking pleasure in God. taking pleasure in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, your fellowship with the Holy Ghost. That's what he's talking about. Delight yourself in that. Not that stuff out there. The stuff in here. When's the last time we've done that? When's the last time you're reading your Bible and God just showed you something and it just went, wah, glory! Has that happened recently? If we really delighted in the Lord, we would be seeing these things all the time. And he shall, verse 4, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You say, well, God doesn't give me whatever I want. This isn't, Joel Osteen didn't write that. He didn't. The Holy Spirit of God penned that thing, right? And when our heart is mended with God's heart, when we're knit with God's heart, he will give us the desires of our heart because we're going to want what God wants. When's the last time you thought that way? I'm talking to myself because I don't always think that way. I think sometimes I need to do this because this is what I need to do. And I'm going to push through this thing because this is what I want. And then I take a step back and I go, you know what? I wonder if God wanted that. Am I trying to force my will on what God wants? Maybe I'm the only one that does that. I don't know. The way you're looking at me, I'm thinking I'm the only one that does that. But verse 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. When it's God's will, he's going to make it happen. We do have a part to play in that, though, because we want the... I'm going back to Psalm chapter 1. We want the blessing of God. He says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Watch who you associate with. Watch what you do. Watch what you say. And then he says, delight in my word and meditate in it day and night. And look what he says back in Psalm chapter 1. It's kind of a Wednesday night Bible study. Look in verse 3. And he shall be. Now, who's that he? That could be you. Right? It could be you. If you're following these steps, if you are... blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We have to be among them, but we don't have to act like them, right? I'm just making that clear. We walk amongst the ungodly, but we don't have to act like them. We don't have to agree with what they're doing, right? We don't have to say, oh, that's a good one, way to go. Good dirty joke, that was so funny. We don't need to do that, right? We don't walk with them. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Our fellowship, our association needs to be with good godly people. Amen. That was kind of a quiet there one there for a second. I thought maybe I had to preach on that for a little while, but I'm not going to. Nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. We got to watch our attitude, right? And then it says, if we'll do this, those are the three don'ts, and there's the do. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So we need to meditate. We need to take in God's word and think about it and ask him to show us truths in his word every day. Amen. And that's what he said, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living waters. What's that mean? That means there's going to be a direct line coming from the Holy Spirit of God coming in through you and out of you at all times if you'll do those things. Go to John chapter 15. I'll finish up here. John chapter 15. Go to John chapter 4 first as you're going to John chapter 15. If one of my guys overseas is watching right now, he'd laugh at that because I always do that to him. John chapter 4, look what Jesus said. We know the story of the woman at the well, right? We know that story? Okay, that's a good one. That's one of my favorite ones. Jesus, look at verse 10. And Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. This woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? He's God. He's going to give us, if she's going to get right with him, if she's going to accept him, he says, I'm going to give you that water, and it'll flow out of you. Amen? Now, are you saved? Are you born again today? That water is in you, and it should be flowing out of you, and everyone should be able to see it. Amen? Okay, I only got a couple amens out of that one. I thought for sure you'd agree with me on that one. Go to John chapter 15 then, right? So we're saved, right? We're walking with the Lord, right? That's where we should be. We want to be blessed by God. We got those three things that we shouldn't do. Then there's the one thing that we do. We have that water thrown. We're going to be planted by the river of living water, right? And that is Jesus Christ. For us in the church today, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not it's not a real river. It's not one flowing. It's Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that's dwelling in us, right? That should be coming right out of us. You know, that's why Paul wrote in Philippians to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's inside. It needs to flow out so people can see it. Now, there are people all around us that are dying and going to hell, right? And we have the answer. We have the gospel. That river of living water should be flowing out of us, and it should be going out to them, and we should be seeing people saved. Amen. I know it gets frustrating when we don't, but that doesn't mean we stop, does it? Amen. We shouldn't stop. We need to keep on going. John chapter 15, and just kind of a different thought, but the same plant. We're in Jesus, right? John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Be planted in him. Be planted in him. Just hang on. Don't let go. No matter how bad this world seems to get, we just need to abide. We just need to grab onto Jesus Christ. We need to be as close as we can possibly get to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what will happen? If Jesus Christ is central in our lives, if Jesus Christ is the main focus, if we're abiding in him, if we're grafted into him, you know what's going to happen? Those first three things in Psalm chapter 1, they're just going to go away. And you won't even have to do it because you're going to be living so much for Jesus Christ that those scornful people, they won't want to be around you. Those ungodly people, they won't want to be around you. Amen. You know how many friends we have that were with us when we were lost? Not very many. And we didn't have to say anything except for, hey, what? You know what? We got born again. Amen. We trusted Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. You want to know about Jesus Christ? No. I don't want any of that. Well, we got that water flowing out of us. We got the living water. Don't you want some of that? No, I don't want. I'd rather have that Budweiser. I'd rather have that other stuff. But we got the living water. It's better. It lasts longer. No, I don't want any of that because I have to do this or I have to do that. I don't have to do anything. I just had to believe the gospel. It's easy. And then the Holy Spirit, by the word of God, takes all the rest of that stuff away. Amen? I used to sing a song, I love him. We'd sing out as a special, I love him. You know, that's the main focus. We have him, he's in us, and it needs to flow out. That's why we could sing a song, I love him. I love Jesus. I love him more than anything. She loves Jesus more than she loves me. But when we both love Jesus Christ and put Jesus Christ number one, we're going to get along great because we're delighting in the Lord. And his law doth we meditate day and night. It makes us better people. We'll get along better if Jesus Christ is number one. You wonder why people don't get along in church? Because we're proud. Only by pride cometh contention. But if we're Jesus Christ, we had to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And that's where we can help one another. You know what Jesus Christ did? I'm kind of all over the place, and I usually am. But my pastor says he says some people are preaching like a long range sniper where they get you at the end. He said I'm like a sawed off double barrel shotgun with a double aught buck. I just blow it out there and see what happens. And maybe somebody will get something out of it. I don't know. But if we'll get closer to God, we can draw people to him. Amen. Don't you know what it says in John chapter 3, verse 14? He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. If we will have that water flowing out of us, if we'll be attached to that tree, that vine, don't you think that people are going to see Jesus in us? They'll see a change in us, that we're not scornful, we're not bitter. We don't care what the world's doing. We just want to be with Jesus and be with his people, and we're happy about it. Don't you think they might want that? I think they might. I think you can change Goodyear, Arizona by a change of attitude. I'm putting Jesus first. Put yourself second, third, fourth, fifth. You know what Jesus did when we need to put ourselves at the bottom, really, and put everybody else ahead of us. You know what Jesus Christ did? He got all his disciples together one time, and they were sitting down to eat, and they got done eating, and Jesus Christ, he took off his robe, put a towel around his waist, and he washed their feet. Now, I'm not going to wash your feet, but Jesus Christ gives us a good example of humbling himself, being a servant. We could learn something from that. Amen? We want the blessing of God, but we don't want to do what it takes to get it in this life. Eternal life, settled. Right? When we believe the gospel, we know what the Bible says. Go to 1 Corinthians. I'll just read through it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I got a couple more seconds before you mute my mic. I'm just joking. We can laugh in church, right? I hope so. We can have some fun. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. Just the gospel. Just a simple gospel message. Here's what Paul wrote. He said, "This is my gospel. This is the one that I received, whereby men are saved." Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture." You know the how, that three-letter how there is probably one of the most important three-letter words in scripture. How that Christ died for our sins. He shed his blood. God shed his blood on Calvary to cover our wickedness, to cover every last sin. First John chapter 2, verse 2 said that he became a propitiation, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He became the way that people can get to the Father. That's why he said, "I am the way," John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." He made that way right there when he shed his blood, the how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. According to the scripture, not according to your opinion. It's according to the scripture. It's according to what God said. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. We're all unrighteous before we got saved. Now, when we get saved, we got the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're imputed his righteousness, but before that, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. How that Christ died for our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. God bled and died for you. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says it's his precious blood, the precious blood of Christ. Amen. And if we really believe that, we would send that message out to whoever will listen. That's the gospel message. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, when you believe that, you were saved. Right? Is that what you trusted in to be born again? It wasn't just John 3:16. John 3:16 is like an overview of that, but that's the gospel message. The death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for a sinner. Do you know how easy that message is? You know how easy that is to give someone? You know what the hard part is? To get us to realize how sinful we really are. To get past our self-righteousness, to get past ourselves and say, you know what, I am that sinner, or I was that sinner that Jesus Christ died for, and just believe the gospel. Acts 20, 21, repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We put off everything else and just turn to him. If you're trusting on anything else to get you to heaven other than the gospel message, you're lost. You, your way, Calvary, empty tomb, God's way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be. That's easy to share, isn't it? You want to be a blessing? You want to be blessed by God? That's what he says to do. That's the way we need to walk. We need to walk like that changed us, like that did something for us, and we want everybody else to have it. So my invitation, my thought tonight is, you want a blessing of God? Start doing something about it. Start doing something for him. He doesn't ask much. He really doesn't. For what he's given, he doesn't ask much. But think, what can I do for Jesus Christ? If you're not saved, you can get saved tonight. I'm sure you are. I know this is the Wednesday night crowd. I'm sure. But I had to ask. I had to say, if you're not saved, tonight is as good a night as any to trust the gospel message. This is as good a night as any to get saved. If you're doing something and you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, tonight is the night where you need to tell God, you know what, I'm tired of it. I just want to get right. If you're scornful tonight, you need to just get right with God tonight and say, you know what, God, I need you to change my heart. David says, "Search me, O God, and see if there be any unclean thing in me." Tonight is the night. Would you just get honest with God tonight and say, "God, I want to be right with you. I want to be blessed. I want to delight in your word again." If that's you, just get honest with God. I'm not going to make you come forward. I'm not going to have you put your head down, eyes closed. I'm just giving you the chance now as I pray to get these things right with God tonight. Don't take it for granted. You don't know. You're not guaranteed that you can get it right with God tomorrow. Amen. You may be standing at the judgment seat of Christ tonight. Guilty. You can get it right tonight. If you want to pray, I'm going to pray. And if you want to get it right with the Lord tonight, I'll give you the chance. Lord, we sure love you. And God, we sure thank you that we can get around your word tonight. I know this was kind of a harsh Wednesday night message, but God, we're living in an ungodly world and an ungodly time. And God, we need to be corrected. We need to be more like you. God, please forgive us. God, I beg you tonight, Lord, that you would help us as we are in these last days of this church age. God, help us to be strong and stand. Help us to take the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, and just trust you and just do what you've asked us to do. God, please help us. We need a touch from heaven. God, we fail you every day. We fail you hundreds of times a day. And God, would you help us? We want the blessing. But God, help us to do what we need to do. We know we're going to see you in heaven, but I want to be right when I see you. Give us strength. Use us for your glory, God, in these last days. Help us to win these last souls to Christ before you call us out. Help us not be complacent. Help us not to be just not caring. Burden our hearts, God, please, for local, for outside the area, and for the rest of the world, God, before you come back and get us. God, use us, please. Give us strength now. Give us safety as we travel. God, I pray that you would just just bless the needs that we have. And Lord, again, please get our brother back to Argentina. Thank you for what you're going to do. We ask these things in Jesus' name for his sake.